This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. MashaAllah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka al-amdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Brothers and sisters, an individual, a Muslim brother of ours in KZN, imagine in the month of Ramadan, he's sitting in i'tikaf in one of our masajid. And in the middle of i'tikaf, the police pitch up at that masjid with a warrant for his arrest. He's arrested in the middle of the masjid and taken to a jail cell. He spends about a night or two nights in that jail cell. Why? What was the issue? The issue was estate planning. The issue was the problems related to inheritance. The issue was dispute between brothers over the estate of the father. And so one brother gets the police to arrest his other brother in the middle of Ramadan, in the middle of i'tikaf, the last 10 nights of Ramadan, the best nights in the year, subhanAllah. How could it be that one of ours, a brother, a Muslim brother, he has this done to his own flesh, Allah musta'an, and blood? Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, we find in the Noble Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it comes to the matter of salah, Allah states, establish the prayer. When it comes to the matter of zakah, pay your zakah. When it comes to the matter of fasting, then fast your month of Ramadan. How to actually do all of that? The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent with the details. To recite Surah Al-Fatiha, how many rak'ahs is the salah, how many times do you pray a day, etc. All of these details with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But when it came to the matter of inheritance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set it out clearly in the Noble Quran. Why? Because myself, yourself, Allah knows us best. Your cousin's not praying, Allah grant them hidayah. Your mother, she's lax with her prayers, we make dua for her. One prayer time came in and went out, and your father's not really praying, you know, inshallah, you know, he'll go for hajj and he'll make amends. But when it comes to money, then we will fight. Then we will seek the assistance of the lawyer. We will go to the high court. We'll do whatever it takes. Money, we will fight over. The guy's salah and his zakah and his siyam, you know, Allah is ghafoor rahim with regards to those matters. But money, we will kill, we will spill blood over that. That's why Allah knows us. And that's why in the Quran, Surah An-Nisa, Allah spelled out the matters pertaining to inheritance in great detail. If there's children involved, such and such. If there's no children involved. If there are the parents. If there's only a mother. If there's only a father. If there are the siblings involved. All of the various scenarios, Allah sets it out clearly in Surah An-Nisa. And subhanAllah, in that there's also a message. Previously, before the coming of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a woman, if her husband passed away, she herself will be inherited. Maybe the father of this guy who passed away, or his brothers will come along, or the uncles will come along, and they will inherit this woman. They will take her. She's now, you know, my property. Would they ever give a share to this woman? Would they give a share to the daughters that remain behind? Imagine in Islam, someone passes away, he leaves behind a daughter. No other children he has. This daughter will take half of his estate. To the Arabs, this was mind-boggling. Are you crazy? This child, this small baby here, one day old baby daughter, are you going to give her half the estate of my brother? Are you going to give her half the estate of my son? Does she fight in battle? Does she go out and the farm? Does she go and defend? Does she go and hunt? Absolutely not. So how can it be that we're going to give her half? They couldn't fathom this. Subhanallah, Islam came with a completely, totally different framework and said that even, forget even a one-day-old daughter, even if you pass away and you left behind a pregnant wife, then we need to wait. What share is going to be given? If this kid is born alive, male gets such and such share. Female, such and such share, subhanAllah. To that extent. And so, this brother that we spoke about, man who in reality was walking around like us here, but living a life of hell, Allahu musta'an. Why? Because of the matters of inheritance. Because of the issues related to the estate. Another example. Something which might be common to many. So you have, for example, Zayd and Fatima. They married according to Islamic rites only. So they made the nikah, and that's what they sufficed themselves with. They have two sons and a daughter. Both spouses were economically active. They lived in a dwelling registered in the name of the husband. They renovated, they refurbished the dwelling, the house, at a cost of about 2 million rands. Both spouses equally contributed 1 million rands towards the renovation of the house. They also upgraded the family vehicle. Again, both of them contributed to this matter. They contributed about 300,000 each towards the purchase of a new vehicle, which was also again registered on the name of the husband. At the demise of the husband, nobody knows when that's going to come. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. And we don't know when we will taste death. Suddenly, subhanAllah, the husband's gone. Besides the loss that they have to deal with, they also now deal with the issue of inheritance and the estate. And like wolves, you find people around looking at that estate. The bigger it is, the juicier it is. At the demise of the husband, the dwelling was valued at 5.5 million rands. And the vehicle at 450,000 rands. So there was capital gain on these various assets. Both the assets were registered in the husband's name as mentioned. Fatima, the wife, she never questioned the nature of her contribution during the subsistence of the marriage to both the dwelling and the vehicle, because as is usually said, it's ours. It's ours. Whose car? It's ours. Whose house? Don't worry, I'm not dying today. It's ours. So she never really questioned. When I put 1 million rands into the house, when I contributed 300,000 to the purchase of the new vehicle, what was that? I mean, it's ours. What does it's ours mean? When he passes away, then you realize, no, it was all his. It was not really ours. Zayd. So Zayd, he had passed away. And he left behind a father, a mother, a wife, two sons and a daughter. The executors of the estate of Zayd, they contend that since the assets were registered in the name of the husband, Fatima, the wife, she was only entitled to her 1/8 share, which is 12.5%. I mean, these assets, apparently, they were all the husband's assets under his name. So you only get your 1/8 share as per the noble Quran. Fatima, she then produces evidence, you know, that I made payment for this and I pay payment for that. The dwelling, the vehicle. The executors, in the absence of any supporting documentation, they need to determine whether this contribution of Fatima, when she gave 1 million, etc., what type of contribution was this? Was it a gift to the husband, mashallah? So you gifted to the husband? I mean, you don't have any entitlement today. You gifted it to your husband, alhamdulillah. Your reward will be in the hereafter. Or was it a loan to the husband? And so if it was a loan, then technically from the husband's estate, we need to give her back her 1 million, which was loaned to him for the house. We need to give her back the 300,000, which was loaned for the, which was loaned for the purchase of the vehicle. What was the nature of her inputs? Or was it a share in the purchase of that asset? So when she put 1 million, he put 1 million, and today the value of the house is 5 million, not only does she have a share in the capital, she also has a share in the accrued value of that property today. She was a shareholder in this matter. One of three options. Was it a gift? Was it a loan? Was it she also purchasing with him a share in that property? Allahumma musta'an. What was it? They sit with this dilemma. Why? Because there was no proper estate planning in this matter. This idea that it's all ours, this mindset is extremely common amongst couples. It may not be easy to talk about to your loving spouse, etc., you know, in a committed relationship about these matters, because it sounds like, you know, a business transaction. What are you talking about? Why are you talking about this? But in reality, if these matters are not made clear, then you will find problems emerging up much, much later. When one talks about estate planning, estate, what is the estate of any individual? Many a times we get bogged down, mashallah, he has a piece of land somewhere, there's the business, there's money in the bank. What about the shirts that he wore? What about the shoes that he wore? What about the microwave that he purchased in the house? Every single thing that brother Zaid owned forms part and parcel of his estate. Yes, we might look at the land and the house very expensive, but every single item that he owned forms part and parcel of the estate. And so it's wrong sometimes when one of the sons comes along and he opens up the father's cupboard, 3 shirts, 5 shirts, I'll take this one here, this socks I'll take for myself, these ones here we'll give it away in charity. He unilaterally decided these matters. No, brother. When your father passed away, the 3 sons, they all had a share in this matter. In every shirt, they had a share. The 2 daughters also had a share. His father and mother, who are still alive, they also have a share. The wife, she also has a share. Every heir has a share in every item of the individual. If you had to think of it, Zayd passed away and he left behind 3 sons. Nobody else in the world. And he owned the cell phone. As soon as his eyes closed, automatically, whether his sons know he has died or they don't know whether he's died, irrelevant. As soon as their father closed his eyes and passed away, this cell phone became the property, equal shares amongst those 3 sons. Zayd, Salman and Ilyas, they all own 1/3 of the cell phone immediately at the demise of their father. That's the estate. Every item down to the last 1 cent, last pin that the man owned forms part and parcel of the estate. If you want to give the shirts to charity, all of them need to agree. If one of you wants to take the microwave, they all need to agree. Or you can, for example, offer this microwave today. It's probably maybe 1,000 rands. Khalas, here's 1,000 rands. You all agree and we put this back into the estate. But it has to be agreed upon by all the heirs. That's with regards to estate. Then there's also the matter of planning, which we just spoke about. We saw Zayd's estate was not wound up for months on end because of that conflict. Was it a loan? What was it? What was the situation with regards to that? Estate planning, or the planning, this is a function, it's some sort of action where you need to liaise with a lawyer, an accountant, to find out what's best for your estate, to avoid these disasters like we just spoke about. The idea that it's ours, or the idea where the mother or the father or whoever, the husband says to the wife, you know what, when I die, then this house is yours. When I die, the car is yours. Or the granny calls the granddaughters and she says, this bangle here, when I die, important, when I die, this bangle is yours. And this one for Sumayya, when I die, this sofa must go to Ilyas and Sumayya and Fatima. Absolutely wrong. Why? Because that condition, when I die, as soon as your eyes close and you have died, you have no hold over those assets. They automatically go to the heirs, which have been prescribed in the noble Quran. While alive, you want to do what you want. Give it to Fatima. Give the bangle to Sumayya. Give the house to whoever you want to. But many a times, granny doesn't want to do that. Why? Because you take it and you go. You take it and you run. Granny feels that she has a hold on you. She has power over you for as long as she keeps it dangling in front of you. Allahumma musta'an, mushkila, power matter. The reality is, you want to part with the house for your wife. When you die, it will not become hers. Now, hand it over to her. Gift it to her. Sell it to her. Whatever it might be, while you are alive. Because once your eyes close, you only have authority, you only have discretion over 1/3 of your estate. 2/3 of your estate will be distributed as per the noble Quran. And even that 1/3, you cannot give it to an heir, and it cannot be more than 1/3, as we will discuss insha'Allah. So number 3, the importance of estate planning. The examples we mentioned clearly show a picture that shows us the importance of estate planning. Also, the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam states, "Ma haqqum ri'in muslimin yabitu laylatayn wa lahu shay'un yusi fihi illa wa wasiyyatuhu maktubatun 'indahu." Rawahu al-Bukhari wa Muslim. That there's no Muslim out there who has something, he's got assets, etc., he's got something that he needs to have a will for, or people owe him money, he needs to make record of this. You pass away, your heirs, they don't know about the 10,000 that is owed to you. That's their money. Also, they don't know about the 5,000 that you owe to Salman, Ilyas and Fatima. They don't know about this matter. And you are held up from entering paradise because of these debts. يُغْفَرُ لِلشَّهِيدِ كُلُّ ذَنْبٍ إِلَّا الدَّيْنِ. All of the issues and the sins and the matters related to the martyr, they are all overlooked. They are all forgiven except the matter of debt. You owe people money. Huquq al-ibad. And so, Abdullah ibn Umar, he states, after I heard this hadith, I would not sleep except that I had my will all written down and sorted out. And also, more importantly, because we here in South Africa, we are obviously subject to the regulations, the constraints of the South African law. And so, in order to navigate through all of this here, you need to plan. And so you need to have a valid will, which will allow your estate to be divided Islamically. If you do not have a will, then your estate will be divided interstate, according to the South African law. And that's un-Islamic. There, for example, your illegitimate kid, an adopted kid, they will all get equal to your valid heirs, to your valid son. They get all equal. That's completely a different framework from the Islamic system. If, for example, you have parents and you also have a surviving spouse and you have kids interstate, your parents will not get anything. Whereas Islamically, 6 individuals will always, 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 always inherit. The father, the mother, they will always inherit. As long as they are alive, when you pass away, they will inherit. Those who came from you, your son, your daughter, will always inherit from you. And the last one, the spouses, the husband and the wife, they will always inherit. These 6 individuals will always inherit, unless obviously they disinherit themselves. The son, may Allah save us, he leaves Islam. He becomes murtad. And so he will not inherit, because the Muslim does not inherit from the non-Muslim and vice versa. Or for example, one of the heirs takes the life of the other heir, takes the life of the other. You will not inherit. Someone says, my father is now 96. I want to hasten his return to Jannah, mashallah. And so he takes the life of his father. He will not inherit from his father's estate. Why? Because he brought forward the matter of inheritance before its appointed time. And Islamically, we will prohibit him and we will punish him by not giving him any of that estate. Also, in your will, there's many other matters that one makes mention of. Advice. Advice to your family. Advice to your friends. Advice to your children. So not only in your will the matter of money, but also the matter of advice. Appointing your executor who will oversee the distribution of your estate, winding up all of those matters, money you owe, money is owed to you, the fact that you want it to be distributed Islamically, a wasiyya. You want to make a wasiyya to an external third party up to 1/3 of your estate. MashaAllah, you used to always come to Al-Huda for Salatul Jumu'ah. And so in your will, you state there, 1/3 of my estate must go to Al-Huda. So if you have a decent, good estate, mashallah, 1/3 or anything less than that to any outside party. You want to donate to SPCA, you want to donate to your neighbor, Muslim, non-Muslim, whoever it might be. Someone might be married to a non-Muslim woman. Automatically, she will not inherit because she's not Muslim. But he can leave her from that 1/3, a portion from there. Also, if you have kids, so to appoint for them a guardian, appoint for them trustees who will oversee their matters. Also super important in today's day and age, that documentation. You pass away, the family is looking for your ID book, they're looking for this document, that document, etc. Also today, the matter of passwords. Passwords. You have your Facebook account and Twitter account and online banking account, etc. They're all stuck because nobody had the password except yourself. Allahumma musta'an. And quite a few examples where the individual passed away. Family wants to close down his Facebook account. The last post was not a good post. Allahumma musta'an. And great difficulty they find in sorting all of that out. So this is with regards to the importance of having a will and the various aspects of that will, inshallah. Also take note, with regards to disposition of property, distribution of property, one can do this in one's lifetime. You can do as you wish. No, you are bound by the rules of justice. Salman has three sons. He gives a million, a million, a million. Alhamdulillah, mashallah. He says, no, my eldest son, he has enough. I will give 1.5 million to son one, 1.5 million to the next son, and as for the eldest, I will not give him anything. Incorrect. But I'm doing it while I'm alive. Can't I do as I wish while I am alive? Yes, you can. But you are bound by the rules of justice. You need to be just. The father of Nu'man ibn Bashir comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Rasulullah, you know, I've given this and that to my sons. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you want me, like, you know, to be a witness over this matter? He says, yeah, that's what I want you to be, a witness over this matter. Have you given all of your children likewise? No, I've not. I will not be a witness over injustice, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. That you cannot be unjust. You don't have to be equal. Maybe, for example, you have a daughter who looked after you 5 years. She was the one who looked after you and nursed you in old age. So, while you are alive, you give her 1 million. And your other daughters, you gave them, example, 500,000. If there was a valid reason for giving one over the other, then it's fine, inshallah. One of the kids, very, very sick, Down syndrome. So you want to give him while you are alive extra, no problem, inshallah. As long as it's a valid reason, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. As for post-death, then here it will be divided as per the noble Quran, and they all of them will be equal in the various matters. Surah An-Nisa, as we have already mentioned. And so the individual who says that my wife, when I die, you will get the house. My son here, you will get this vehicle. My daughter here, you will get this bangle. And you haven't done that while you were alive. You pass away. They will not get whatever you wanted them to get. The house will be distributed across the board as per the Quran. The bangle, everything will be distributed as per the noble Quran, where the shares are 2-to-1. 2 million to this son, 2 million to the other son, 2 million to the other. And as for the daughter, she will have 1 million, and the wife gets one. The wife gets 1/8. The next matter, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, is that an example. So we have brother Zaid here. He passes away, an example, he left behind an estate of 1 million. That was his estate, valued it, all of his assets came to 1 million. The first thing we do is sort out funeral expenses. If his cousin, his uncle, the brothers in the masjid, they say, no, we will pay for the funeral expenses, alhamdulillah. But otherwise, we use his own money for his own funeral expenses. It's your kafan, brother, so we use your own money. So that's the funeral expenses. 15-20,000 rand, we sorted out the funeral expenses. The next matter, we sort out his debts. All the money that he owes. Why? Because that's not his money in reality. He owed brother Bilal, he owed brother Salman, Ilyas, he owed Vodacom, he owed Checkers, Edgar's account, whatever it might be, Muslim, non-Muslim. That's not his money. That's their money. We need to give them their haq back. And so we sort out his debts. Debts are divided into two categories. The first one being debts owed to Allah. What's a debt that one owes to Allah? An example of a debt that I owe to Allah. I owe money to Allah. Example? For example, he didn't fast in the month of Ramadan. He was very ill, etc. Hasn't paid his zakah for 2 years now, subhanAllah. Some kafara he needs to sort out. Hasn't gone for hajj. And he had the money, he had the ability, but he was lazy for whatever reason, never made the hajj. Then here, pillar of Islam needs to also be sorted out. So we need to sort out all the debts owed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After this, we sort out the debts owed to mankind. His Dischem account and his Woolworths account or whatever accounts it might be. Salman, Ilyas, Fatima, we pay them all up. After that, whatever now remains, then here we will move on to the matters of inheritance, inshallah. But in our example, the man had 1 million rands. Funeral expenses, 15,000. After that, we sorted out his debts to Allah and his debts to mankind. After this example, we are left with 875,000. So this in reality is what he was worth. He was only worth 875,000. Now here, this individual, he had the option of having a wasiyah. A wasiyah is a legacy. You have the right to do with 1/3 of your wealth, whatever you want. So let's say in his will he stipulated that I want to give 50,000 to Al-Huda Center. I also want to give 50,000 to Brother Bilal Ismail, mashallah. As he said, wherever there's a will, where there's a will, I want to be in it. Now, where there's a will, I want to be in it. Now, Jayyid. And so he stipulates 50,000 to Al-Huda, 50,000 to Brother Bilal Ismail. Excellent. Alhamdulillah. Let's see. 875,000, that's what he has. 100,000. Is it more or is it less than 1/3 of his estate? What? It's much less. It's much less, mashallah. So will we allow this wasiyah? Yes, we will allow it. And so we will give 50,000 to Al-Huda and we will give 50,000 to Brother Bilal Ismail. Walhamdulillah. Question. In his wasiyah, which as we said, you can do as you wish. Can he state there that in my wasiyah, I want to give my wife an extra 50,000. Or I want to give my eldest son an extra 100,000. Can he do that? No, he can't. Why? Because this wasiyah portion is for an outsider. It's not for your heirs. Your heirs, they will get what the Quran has set out for them. You cannot make a wasiyah for your heir. Incorrect. He makes a wasiyah of all of his money to Al-Huda, mashallah. Says Al-Huda, mashallah, they used to give us dates and lunch, alhamdulillah. And so all my money, 875,000, must go to Al-Huda. Will that be permissible? No. Why? Because it's more than 1/3. So the two rules, it must not be more than 1/3. And number two, it must not be to an heir. Excellent. So 50,000 we gave to Al-Huda, 50,000 we gave to Brother Bilal Ismail, alhamdulillah. What we left with? 775,000. Now this 775 will be distributed amongst his heirs, those who will inherit from him. How? As per the noble Quran. Open up Surah An-Nisa. Yusikumullahu fi awladikum ila akhirihi, until the end. Walhamdulillah. As for the six who will always inherit, father, mother, husband, wife, son and daughter, they cannot be left out. Walhamdulillah. Do the siblings inherit? What about my brothers? What about my sisters? Will they inherit? Well, the rule is, if there's the father is the boss. If there's the father around, then the father will block out the siblings. So if you had a father, then the father will get a share, and your brothers and sisters will not get any, will not get any share. Hayyakumullah. How many of you have a valid will? Put up your hands. How many of you have a valid will? MashaAllah. Only Zakariya. Doctor there. 2, 3. Jayid. Allah musta'an ya mashayikh. Jayid. Even if it was not for the disaster scenarios that we gave, even if it just be the fact that our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that anyone out there who has something, obviously if you have nothing, you don't really have anything, then there's no real need, you know, to have a wasiyah with regards to money. You can still have a wasiyah and a will with regards to advice. My son, please, my son, make sure that from your children, make sure that you pass on this advice to your children, that in each family there should be a hafiz of the noble Quran. Advice? Hopefully they will hold on to this advice. Your parting advice, oh my children, I used to always assist a certain family. Oh my children, I used to always do such and such every year. You also continue to do that. Oh my children, every year I used to slaughter the qurbani, the udhiyah, on behalf of our great-great-grandfather. You also continue that practice. You get the reward of that if they continue doing that. And most likely, If they were good, they will hold on to that. Why? This was my father's parting advice. My father said in his will, you know, he told us to continue this. It's his will and we will continue. Oh my children, make sure that in each one of your families, you know, there should be somebody who's a hafiz of Quran or alim or whatever it might be. Hold on to that matter. And if you have wealth, then obviously make sure that you have a will sorted out. And if you have a decent amount, then have a wasiyah sorted out. Obviously, what's better? Let's say an individual passes away and he only has 100,000 in his estate. Is it better for him to give 30,000 to Bilal Ismail or leave all of his money to his children and his wife and his heirs? What's better? Obviously, in a case like that, it's better that you leave it to your own heirs. You got 10 million, mashallah. Please, you know, give out one third. But as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, that rather you leave your family well off, it's better than them having to beg from people, having to ask assistance from people. So obviously that's dependent upon the situation. Also from that wasiyyah, you have two types of sadaqah, where we fed the people and they ate and it's over. That sadaqah, alhamdulillah, it's good, it's khair, it's barakah. You have another type of sadaqah, which is perpetual, where the brother, he bought a mushaf and he put it here in the masjid. Whoever reads from it until the day that Quran, you know, is completely torn up or something happens with it, for as long as it's here and people benefit from it, I will get that benefit in my grave, alhamdulillah. Somebody paid, for example, the watch here. And so for as long as people benefit from that watch, I will be rewarded for that, walhamdulillah. That type of sadaqah is now perpetual. You dug up a borehole somewhere, a well somewhere. For as long as people benefit from that, the musalla, you paid for the carpet. For as long as people benefit from that, I will accrue rewards, walhamdulillah. Remember, our ummah, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, is between what age? 60 and 70, and then we gone. The only way we can still bank after our death is if we leave behind some sort of sadaqah jariyah, some sort of charity which is perpetual, which continues to earn us rewards, walhamdulillah. In summary, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, we spoke about estate, everything that the man owns, planning, that this is an act, this is where you need to do something, you need to liaise with a lawyer, you need to liaise with an accountant, to work out what's best for yourself. Don't forget, the tax man is also waiting. You want to give your stuff while you are alive? Well, he hits you with donation tax. It's going to transfer after your death. Well, then there's estate duty which comes into effect. Then also there's the matter of capital gains tax. You bought it at 1 million. Today its value is 20 million. You think the tax man's just going to let it pass? No. So you need to work out what is most tax efficient with regards to these matters. The higher and the greater your estate, the greater the taxman wants a share of that matter. You have an estate of, example, over 30 million, plus minus 7.5 million will go to the taxman. I mean, massive amount, Allahu musta'an, right? So there's also that consideration. We talked about disposition of property while you're alive as you wish, but you are bound by the rules of justice. Once your eyes close, as per the noble Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the verses of inheritance that Allah knows better. Allah knows better. You don't know. This one's better for me. Give this one extra. Give that one. Leave this one out. No. Allah knows what is better for us. And then the third one was, we went through the step-by-step estate distribution of brother Salman. We thought about funeral expenses, debts to Allah, debts to mankind, then at one third wasiyah, if applicable, and then whatever remains, distributed to the heirs. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us khair and barakah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to let it not be that individuals, we put together an estate, perspiration and sweat on the forehead, etc. Work for this. And subhanAllah, you pass away, and what you leave behind is corruption. What you leave behind is strife and enmity between family members. Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam states, maybe a person, he gains closeness to Allah for like 60 years. 60 years, mashaAllah. He's an abid of Allah, so close to Allah. But then he puts together a will which is wrong. He leaves behind an estate all upside down. He wants to maybe control from the grave, Allahu musta'an. And so then, he ends up somewhere else. All of that 60 years gone down the drain. Why? because of this corrupt action at the end of his life. Allahu musta'an. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the best in this world and in the hereafter. Hayyakum Allah. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka al-abdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.